Amen. Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of John, chapter 3. John, chapter 3. We're going to read verses 13 through 21 together. We're going to read this passage responsively. Now, boys and girls, I have you in here because I want you in here, and I want you to listen today. I have just a sermon I want our entire church to hear, and I want us all to pay attention. By the way, moms and dads, adults, this is not a children's sermon. I prepared this for everybody. This is as much for you as it is anybody else, just so you know. But I want everybody to pay special attention this morning. John chapter 3, verses 13 through 21. We're going to read this passage responsively. I'll read verse 13. You join me on verse 14, and we'll alternate through the passage that way. And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God hath sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For every one that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. And let's finish on verse 21 together. Ready? But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Let's pray. When I'm done praying, you may be seated, and then we'll have a special, and then I'll preach. Father, please, would you help us today? Lord, I believe that if Jesus were here on the face of the earth, this would be the message he would preach in this pulpit to these people today. Lord, I pray that as we stand before you in need, that we would listen like we are needy. Would you give us a hush? Would you give us the attention of your people so that they can hear what you have for them today? In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Let me begin with just a little background so that you understand where I come from. I have been preaching for about 34 and a half years. God, for some reason, has allowed me to preach a lot. I've preached somewhere in the neighborhood of 10,000 sermons. And that's a lot of preaching, just so you know. I'm not that old. I'm 47. I'll be 48 next month, so I'm not that old. But I've been preaching a long time. I have preached in well over half of the states in the United States of America. I think I've preached in 28 or 29 different states. I've kind of lost count through the years, but I'm not a famous person. I'm not a well-known person necessarily. God just took a little old crazy nut from Ohio, a Buckeye, and put him in some big places. I don't understand it. I don't question God. I don't ask why. I've just done what God has asked me to do. I remember my first sermon, I preached in Mexico. I preached in a place called Cuauhtémoc, Chihuahua, Mexico. I had surrendered to preach, and my youth director, in all of his love and wisdom, said, "Good, you're preaching on the bus tomorrow." Man, I didn't sleep at all. I looked through that book, Brother Jimbo, and thought, there's got to be something in a book that big to preach. I couldn't find it. I got up and threw some notes down and preached for about 10 minutes and sat down and cried, thinking, boy, that was a failure. I never wanted to do that again. Well, bless the Lord, 10,000 times plus later, I'm still doing it. God had a way of doing something. Now, I've also been privileged to hear some of the greatest preachers of the last generations. I don't understand it. But God has allowed me to not only hear some of the greatest preaching, but I actually got to meet and to know and at times host many of those preachers. I worked for and listened to thousands of times, a man named Dr. Jack Hiles. I worked on his church staff the last 4 years of his life. I knew and sat in the living room with Dr. Lester Roloff. Matter of fact, my cousin was one of the girls killed in the plane crash with him. I knew Dr. Lee Roberson. I got to host Dr. Roberson on several occasions. Dr. Roberson was a man just about my height. He probably weighed just a little less than me. I'll get down to where he was shortly. But Dr. Roberson, for about 43 and a half, 44 years, pastored the great Highland Park Baptist Church in Chattanooga, Tennessee, and built a church that was just second to none in his day. Got to spend many hours with Dr. Roberson. By the way, it saddens me how after some of these great men have passed off the scenes, their churches have too. Highland Park Baptist Church is back in the Southern Baptist Convention and has apologized for when Dr. Roberson pulled them out. Tennessee Temple is no longer. They've dissolved the college and combined it with another Southern Baptist college there in Chattanooga. What a shame. I've hosted Dr. Roberson when he was in his 80s and 90s. Taking him from point A to point B and just spent time with him. I got to know a man named Dr. Joe Boyd. Amen, Brother Jeff. Dr. Boyd, he'd come to Indiana and he'd sit with my wife and my children. While I was on the platform, my boys would sit on his knee. Dr. Boyd was a giant of a man, great soul winner, great evangelist. And when he was having some heart troubles and was in the hospital, Brother Hiles left the hospital from seeing Joe Boyd, called me at home and said, "Craig, get to Munster Hospital. Joe Boyd's having surgery. He wants to see you." I said, "Me?" He said, "Get there. He's asked for you." He said, "Whatever you got to clear, it's okay with me. Get there." "Yes, sir." Asked for me to come just spend a few minutes with him at the hospital. I loved Dr. Boyd. I knew Dr. Curtis Hudson, one of the greatest soul winners of yesteryear, Dr. Curtis Hudson. Editor of the Sword of the Lord. Dr. Bruce Cummins, Massillon Baptist Temple, Massillon Baptist College in Massillon, Ohio. He worked for and was trained under J. Frank Norris. When he was in Bible college, he went to college under Dr. J. Frank Norris and worked for about a year and a half under Dr. Norris there in Texas. I knew Dr. Cummins personally. Graduated from his Christian school. I knew him personally. Helped him through many different times in his latter life, got to spend some time with him. Then Dr. Harold Henniger, Canton Baptist Temple, Canton, Ohio, built a church, high days, over 10,000 people. Just an amazing man. He also served under J. Frank Norris. Amazing how those were soul-winning men. Now, Canton Baptist Temple is a rock and roll church, praise and worship church, and ready to take the name Baptist off their sign. They want to become a community church. I knew Dr. Al Lacey. Dr. Al Lacey is probably the leading expert on the King James Bible in the world today. Met Dr. Lacey, spent time with Dr. Lacey. What a neat guy. Wait a minute. I've heard, I couldn't tell you how many thousands and tens of thousands of sermons I've listened to, how many truths that I've been privileged to hear in my life. I listen to preaching virtually every day of my life. And I mean that. Before 7 o'clock this morning, I had already listened to 3 sermons, just so you know. I listened to 2 sermons by Brother Roloff and 1 by Brother Hiles. I listened to 2 or 3 sermons yesterday. I listened to preaching. By the way, I listened to the right kind of preaching. I don't go for this modern contemporary garbage. Let's go back to what built fundamentalism and kept it on fire before. Amen. If it worked back then, it can work right now, just so you know. Not too long ago, though, someone asked me, they said, "Brother Bush, what do you think the greatest truth in the Bible is?" Interesting question. What do you think the greatest truth in the Bible is? It took me about that long to think of it. I didn't hesitate. Almost before they put the question mark at the end of the sentence, I had the answer prepared. I said, "That's easy." And I did not hesitate. They seemed a bit startled. They seemed a bit puzzled. And they wanted to almost, not challenge, but they didn't really agree with my answer. They asked me about several other possibilities. But I said, those all hinge on the truth I just gave you. Say, what truth did you say? God loves me. I don't know a greater truth than that entire book, Brother Bob. God loves me. They said, what about Philippians 4:19? My God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I said, wonderful truth. But that all hinges on God loves me. They said, what about Romans 8:28? And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and to them who are called according to his purpose. I said, wonderful, wonderful truth. But it all hinges on God loves me. They said, what about Jeremiah 33:3? Call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. I said, lovely truth, wonderful truth. But it all hinges on God loves me. I'll be honest with you. I don't know greater truth in all the world. God loves me. Say, well, who are you? Nobody. A sinner. But he loves me. For God so loved the world that he gave his only... folks, I'm not one of these spooky Pentecostals that gets chill bumps, but it working up and down my spine right now, just thinking about God loves me. We sing the song with the children. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. We are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Almost every night of my daughter's life when she was little, we sang that song together. And I would say, yes, Jesus loves Mindy. Yes, Jesus loves Joshua and Jeffrey. Yes, Jesus loves Mommy and Daddy, for the Bible tells us so. Say, why? I wanted my children growing up knowing God loves them. I'm too old to sing that song. No, you're too cold, not too old. Ladies, get your hanky. You're going to cry on this one. Recently, my dear friend, Brother Kevin Arcola, pastoring over in Blacksville, West Virginia, his daddy was dying of cancer. They found him slumped over in his truck and thought he had had a stroke, and after a couple days found out that he had brain cancer, spine cancer, liver cancer, and stomach cancer. And he only lived a little bit less than 3 weeks after the day they found him. After his daddy died and Brother Kevin preached his daddy's funeral, that Saturday morning after, Brother Kevin texted me something that took place, and I sat down at my desk and wrote it down, and the next couple days I outlined this sermon. As his daddy lay in the bed dying, Kevin's sister, she's probably, and this is a guess, I do not know her age, but I know how old Brother Kevin is, and it's his little sister. I'm assuming she was in her late 30s, early 40s. She's not a child, okay? I'm not saying she's not an old lady, because no lady is old, amen? But she's not a child, but... she's still a daughter. Her daddy was lying in the bed, hovering between this life and the next. He did not relay the actual circumstance, but I could imagine my daughter in the same situation. I could see Kevin's sister place her head on her dying daddy's shoulder. And she said these words, and I quote, Daddy, you have loved me since I was born, but I have loved you my whole life. Whew. Folks, I pulled out the hanky box and started weeping tears. Daddy, you've loved me since I was born, but I have loved you my whole life. Oh, how sweet. Oh, how true. They loved each other the same amount of time, but to one it was part of life, to the other it was an entirety of life. This is a sweet, tender moment between a daughter and a dying daddy. Sweet moment between a Christian lady watching her daddy about to depart this world to go to heaven. Daddy, you've loved me since I was born, but I've loved you my whole life. I sat at my desk and I began to think, what a great expression of love. But this was the thought I gained. Just like Brother Articola's sister, we have loved God since the time we got saved. But He has loved us from the foundation of the world. Whew. I don't know about you. I don't like to cry. But when I think of how much God loves me, I can't help it. I've loved Him since about 1971, 72, when I got saved. But He has loved me for thousands of years before I was ever born. Whew. Preacher, what's the greatest truth in all the Bible? God loves me. God loves you. I want to show you about six statements, and I have more than that, but I knew I couldn't fit them all in, why I believe that John chapter 3, verse number 16, and the truth of God loving me is the greatest truth in that whole book. Number one, it starts with the greatest lover, for God. Never has been a greater lover in the universe than God Himself. You take all of the love of a mama for a child, and all of the love for a child to a mama, and all the love of a daddy to a child, and all the love of a child to a daddy, the love of every husband to a wife, and the wife to every husband. You take all of that love, all of the love of a pastor for a people, and a people for a pastor, and a friend for a friend, and combine it all together, and God's love makes it pale in shamefacedness. God made this world. Evolution did not. God created this world for us. Man did not create it. God created it. It didn't come out of nothingness. God made the earth for us to enjoy. He made it all for us to enjoy so we would think of Him. He really did. God made the sun, the moon, and the stars. So when we looked at them, we said, O God, our God, how excellent is Thy name in all the earth, who has set Thy glory above the heavens. Out of the mouths of babes and sucklings hast Thou ordained strength. What is man that Thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that Thou visitest him? And every time you see a sunrise, every time you see a sunset, by the way, it happens slow. But every time you happen to catch one of those, it's God telling you He loves you. He made the rivers and the lakes for us to enjoy His beauty so that we could see Him while looking down. We're looking up. God made those for you to enjoy. He made the gold and the silver in the hills. He made all the precious jewels. He made all of earth's beauty so that you could look at Him and say, wow, God loves me. He made the smell and the beauty of the lilac for you to enjoy His love. He made the beauty of the flowers of the field for you to say, look how beautiful God is. He made the animals and all of their uniqueness for us to enjoy, not just in their beauty, but in their taste. He made all of those things. You say, anyway, I'll not go there. God hung the sun and the moon for you and me. God is the greatest lover because he is the source of all love. God is love. It doesn't say God was love. God is love. By the way, you say, I have problems loving. You have problems with your God. You do. You got a plugged hose. You're not hooked up to the right spigot. You got to get yourself connected to the right source. You say, well, this old world's filled with lust. It's not filled with love. This world's filled with violence and hatred, not with love. Just listen to me. All this nasty, wicked protesting. I don't care what the cause. Where's the love? When you start smashing windows, shooting guns, hurting people, where's the love? Well, we're standing for a cause. You don't love. You want something for nothing. You want to be a rebel and get away with it. Everybody doing all right? Say, why is John 3:16 and God loves me the greatest truth in the Bible? First of all, because it starts with the greatest lover for God. Folks, Buddha doesn't love you. Mohammed does not love you. Islam does not love you. Shinto does not love you. There's not a false god in the world that has ever expressed or been able to express any love. There's not a statue that can love you. There's not a book that can love you. There's not, Joseph Smith does not love you. I don't care who they are. They do not love you. God loves you. And may I say this, God didn't say if somebody disagrees with him, you're supposed to go out and kill him. Muhammad did, but not God. Everybody doing all right? Okay, here we go. So it's the greatest truth because it starts with the greatest lover for God. Watch this. It has the greatest amount of love. For God so loved the world. Say, why didn't God put an amount to it? He did. He said, so much. Say, what does the word so mean? It means it's immeasurable. It's so much, you can't put a quantity to it. God so loved the world. You add all the love you've ever given and all the love you've ever received, multiply it by the billions and billions and billions of people on the face of the earth, and God loves you so much more. Every once in a while, my daughter just graduated or finished her school, so she finally got a phone. Before she gets up in the morning, before her phone's on, because we have her phone, by the way, yes, I do. She lives under my roof. That's the way it'll be. And you say, well, I don't agree with you. I don't give a flip, but that's why my daughter's doing okay. But I know she not even have her phone on yet. And I'll text her and I'll say, Daddy loves you so, and I'll put about 1,500 zeros. O's after that thing, much. Send it to her. There's times she's called me from work and said, Daddy, I love you. I said, good, I love you more. Nope, I love you more. Nope, I love you more. We get in an argument over it. Say, what is that? I love you more than any word could express. God loves us so much. God is the greatest lover. Not only that, he's the greatest source. Not only that, he loves us with the greatest amount. It's so much. By the way, no God could love you like God loves you. Do you know that man cannot love you like God loves you? Did you know that a woman cannot love you like God loves you? By the way, this world is starved for love. They're looking for it in another human being, and they're avoiding the source of all love. My Bible says, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. Watch this. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. Did you know I can't love my daughter? I cannot love my wife. I can't love my mom and my dad. I can't love you to any more than I love God. Anytime I have a situation where I've got turmoil in a relationship, I always get this relationship right so I can settle this relationship. I love my boys. Got both my boys in Kentucky, and Yesterday, I was home for about an hour between soul winning and being back for my Sunday school activity, helping my wife get some things done, and my phone was sitting on the counter in the kitchen, and it buzzed, and I looked over. You parents of older children, you know what I'm talking about. It said Dr. Jorgensen. That's my oldest son's president of the college where he's going to there in Lexington under Brother Fugit. I went, uh-oh, what'd he do? Yeah, I know I shouldn't think that way. He's 23 years old and married, but my first thought was, oh, what'd he do? There was a picture. Dr. Jorgensen, my son was having an open-air meeting yesterday, Brother Mike. Had about 80 people there, a bunch of folks saved. Dr. J was there. My son didn't even know it, Brother Buck. He took a picture and said, I'm watching your son preach. He said he's got a crowd, and he said over half of them are adults. He said, I'm so very proud of your son. Whew. I texted back and said, I am too. I am too. Can I tell you something? I love my sons. My other son's driving a church van this morning, taking boys and girls to church. Bless God. Can I tell you something? I'm proud of my boys, and I love my boys, but God loves me more. I love them so much, but God loves me so much more. God loves you so much more. Number three, not only is God the greatest lover, and not only does he have the greatest amount of love because it's so loved, God's love is the greatest love. For God so loved. Folks, the creator of the universe loves me. The God who made everything loves you. Do you understand how great that is? I love my wife. I'm not afraid to say this. I believe my wife is one of the most incredible women that has ever lived. You say, why? She's put up with me for almost 26 years. My wife is an incredible woman. And I love my wife, and you've never been loved till you've been loved by my wife, I promise you. But may I say this? God loves me more. He does. I don't know how, but he loves me more. The very God that gave life loves you. Boys and girls, listen to me. Some of you better treat your mom and your dad better. Some of you teenagers that think you're too cool to love your mom and dad because your mom and dad, they're outdated. No, they know how to love. You're just a twit and don't know any better. I know better. No, you're an idiot. I got more sense in that little finger than you got in your whole body. My daddy had a birthday this week. He's as old as Methuselah. No, my dad and mom are back there. You know what? I decided I'd enjoy every moment I have with my mom and dad because there may come a day I don't have them. I don't ever want to get to their deathbed and look into their face and say, I wished I would have told you more. I think I can say this. There's probably in the last 40, 45 years, not been that many days past where I've not told both of them, I love you. Promise you. I grew up in a house where my dad didn't go out and work in the garden without looking at my mom and say, I love you. I'm not kidding. I mean, you thought he was going to work. I mean, leaving for 8 hours. No, he's just going outside. Say why? Because you never know when's the last time. I loved my pastor, Brother Hiles. Brother Hiles was 74 years old. He was not old, but my daddy's older than that. I never left Brother Hiles' presence without saying, Preacher, I love you. The last time I saw Brother Hiles alive was on a Friday morning after prayer time. I had to ask him a couple questions. He asked me to help him with something real quick. I stepped back and said, Preacher, I love you. I turned And he said, Greg? I said, yes, sir. He said, I love you too, Greg. The last words I ever heard him speak. Morning he died, I stood outside his door. I looked at his office door and I said, glad the last words you heard me say are, I love you. I hope the last words my parents hear me say is, I love you. Hope the last words my wife and children ever hear me say are, I love you. I stood at the bedside of L.J. Parr as his wife was dying. They had been married 50-some years. L.J. leaned over and the nurses said, you better hurry. She's going. We had been out in the hall. They had been doing a little procedure on her, and they said, we can't finish. She's going. You better get here. L.J. rushed to her side and grabbed her hand. Maybe one of the most tender things I've ever seen. He said, Bess, I wished I could hear you say it one more time. I love you. And he was not yelling, but speaking loudly right in her ear. And just about that time, everything started to really slow down. And I said, look, LJ, look. And the whole family was there. And she moved her mouth three times. And the machine stopped. And she stepped into glory. I went home, Brother Buck, and told my wife, I said, that's the way I want to go. That's the way I want to go. God is the greatest love. God loved you more than he loved the devil and the angels that followed Lucifer. Did you realize God gave us Jesus Christ to pay for our sin, but he did not for Lucifer and his followers? God loves you more than he loved Lucifer and the angels that committed the same sin you and I commit. He decided to cover our sin. He didn't theirs. He loves me more than the earth. He destroyed this world by a flood one time, and he'll destroy it again by fire in the future. God loves you more than he loved heaven, because he'll remake heaven one day. He loves you so much. Number four. About to shout. God's love is the greatest love, and this is the greatest truth because of the greatest company or object of God's love. You say, what do you mean? For God so loved the world. The world. Did you know that God loves those who do not love him? I don't mean this the wrong way. Brother Bob, I believe you love me. And it's not, well, I was going to say it's not hard loving Bob. My daughter loves me. No, you know, it's not hard loving somebody that loves you back. That's the easiest thing in all the world. You ought to love somebody that hates you. You ought to love somebody that stands against everything you stand for. But did you know that God loves everybody? And he loves this world. He loves the Muslim. He loves the Buddhist. He loves the false God worshipers. He loves every person on the face of the earth. He doesn't care what their skin color, doesn't care what their religion. I didn't say that they were all going to heaven. I said he loves them all. Well, we're all God's children. We just have different names for God. No, there's only one way to heaven. That is through Jesus Christ and his saving grace. But God loves them whether they're his children or not. Did you know that God doesn't kill people who disagree with him? Did you know that God doesn't kill those who disobey him? God is a God of judgment. No, he is judgment. But that's only because we won't obey. Matter of fact, you get saved, there's no judgment. There's therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. He that believeth is not condemned. Wow. What a wonderful thought. The moment you settle your salvation, judgment's over. judgment over. You know, God only meets the challenge. You know, God only ended up, I'll use the word killing or destroying, a few people throughout history. Say why? Because they challenged God. He rose to the challenge, said, you can say what you want, but here you go. Boom. Everybody doing all right? By the way, it wasn't even challenging him, it was challenging his people. We better stand with the nation of Israel. America is in trouble with our current chief administrator who's messing around with Israel right now. We'll shake hands with Castro, but we won't entertain Netanyahu. Something's wrong here. God doesn't send suicide bombers, set off bombs, IEDs, and fly planes into buildings and cut people's heads off who are called infidels. He said, I'll love them. God loves the world and wants everybody in the world to be saved and spend eternity with him. For God so loved the world, here's the next part, the greatest act and the greatest gift that he gave, his only begotten son. Whew. I can prove that God's love is the greatest by the greatest act and the greatest gift ever given in the universe history. He loved us enough to allow Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, God in the flesh, to come and pay our sin debt for us. Folks, please understand the statement I'm about to make. I love you, but I don't think I could give my daughter or either of my boys for a bunch of people that hate God. I don't. I don't think I could give one of my children for people to be spared that weren't even going to accept what it takes to be spared. But God did. God did. I don't think I could do it, Brother Stoltz. I've given God everything I've got. I've given my children over to God. But may I say this? I didn't give them up to infidels. I didn't give my children up to be killed, just so you know. By the way, he didn't take the life of others. He gave the life of his son. He didn't do this for the devil, but he did it for mankind. No one has ever given like God has given. None. None. Folks, I have no vendetta against any religion. I just get sick and tired of man being the object of God's love and not God. Get sick and tired of people saying, well, you got to live a certain lifestyle. You owe it to God to live perfectly so that you can go to heaven. You can't. And proof of that, God gave you Jesus Christ. He came. He was born of a virgin, lived a sinless life. He lived righteously. He was crucified, shed his blood, died, was buried, and resurrected and conquered death. Put his blood on the mercy seat in heaven to keep your sorry carcass out of hell. Who are you to say you can earn it yourself? You're a sinner like the rest of us. You owe it to God to accept his gift. It's free. And yet people spit on God. They call us infidels. That's what the word jihad means. It's a religious war against Christianity. The press won't report that. But God does. And lastly, I must hurry. So many more things I want to give, but I'm out of time. Not only is God the greatest lover, not only is there the greatest amount of love, so love, not only the greatest love, God's love, not only the greatest company or object of God's love, the world, not only the greatest act and gift, his only begotten son, but watch this, it's the greatest opportunity. The greatest opportunity. Listen to this, listen to this. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Folks, you do not have to die and go to hell. God did not make hell for you. He created it for the devil and his angels that followed him. Watch this. That happened before man was created. But when man committed the same sin that Lucifer committed, God's justice required. That's why it says that hell hath enlarged itself, because God did not intend man to go to hell. And God had to make hell bigger for those that would not receive the plan of salvation, God's gift of eternal life. God doesn't send anybody to hell. Man sends himself there. And you're guilty of being a sinner just like me. I'm guilty of sinning just like the devil. But may I say this, he gave us the greatest opportunity. Can I tell you something? Watch this. Craig Bush will never spend 1 second in hell. Can I tell you why? Because I'm a great person? Nope. Because you got baptized in a baptistry? Nope. You can get baptized till you ever know every tadpole by name. Still die and go to hell. Because you joined Grace Baptist Church, you can join every church in town and still die and go to hell. About a 4.5-year-old boy at the Camp Baptist Temple on the second floor, a little kindergarten-type teacher in a kindergartner-type chair after a one-legged man got done preaching in junior church. Got his leg shot off in Vietnam. Scared the bejeebers out of me. I'd never seen somebody with only one leg before. Had a, honestly, it wasn't much more than just a regular peg. I mean, you know, the old Captain Hook kind. That man got up and preached on boys and girls that would die and go to hell if they weren't saved. I tugged on my Sunday school teacher's dress and said, I don't want to go there. And she knelt down beside a chair with me. And at about 4.5, 5 years old, I knelt there and realized that I was a sinner on my way to hell and that Jesus paid the price. I bowed my head and trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. And I have been on the way. I'll never see hell because of that. My name got written down in heaven. It's there for eternity. May I say this, when I die and get there, St. Peter's not going to meet me. God will meet me. Can I tell you why? Because he wrote my name down. My name is in the book of eternal life. Everlasting life. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish. Say, well, what about somebody that's murdered? If they get saved, they're on their way to heaven. Well, what about somebody that commits suicide? Isn't that the unpardonable sin? No, it's not. It's stupid, but it's not the unpardonable sin. If you got saved, you're on your way to heaven. Say, what's the unpardonable sin? Rejecting what Jesus Christ did for you to take you to heaven. That is the only thing that's unpardonable, because you will not accept what Jesus did for you and God's love to your account. You have the greatest opportunity. You have the opportunity to miss hell and go to heaven. You have the opportunity to miss the fire of hell and walk the streets of gold. You have the opportunity not to fall in the bottomless pit for eternity and be secure in the presence of God himself for eternity. Hey, you have the greatest chance to rejoice with everlasting life. I get sick and tired of these Christians. Oh, I'm a Christian. I'm just always so depressed. Oh, woe is me. I'm a Christian. You... If your name's written in heaven and you're not going to hell, what are you depressed about? What you're telling me is you're not right with God, not depressed. Because if I get a little down, all I got to remember is this. I'm not going to hell. I'll never suffer, Brother Bob. The worst days of eternity are now. It gets better from here, baby. Can I tell you something? Somebody dying and going to hell, this is the best they'll have. Man, it's only up from here for us. It's down from here for them. By the way, it's by nothing I've done, but by everything he did. Whew, it's a good thing, because I know how sinful my flesh is. especially after miniature golf yesterday. I didn't sin, but I came close. I let Brother Stoltz in for me. Man, can I tell you something? I know how much of a sinner I am. Somebody one day said, well, Brother Bush, I happen to know this about what you did. I said, do you want the rest of the list? I got it. I know far worse than that. Folks, none of us are perfect. Doesn't give us an excuse. My dear friend, greatest truth in all 66 books and about 1,900 pages, God loves me. I don't know if I know a greater truth in all the world. I really don't. I don't know if there's a greater thought in all the world. Say, oh, well, we just live in such a depressing time. Yeah, because you're looking at the time and not God loving you. The greatest lover, the greatest amount, the greatest love, the greatest gift, the greatest kind of love, all those things. There's so much more. I could preach a whole series of sermons on that one verse. I won't. Not right now. But may I say this? Preacher, what's the greatest truth in all the Bible? God loves me. I was moved. Daddy, you love me. Since I was born, but I have loved you my whole life. And I began to weep. And I said, God, I've loved you since I was born again. But you loved me before the foundation of the world. You authored a plan of salvation for me before I was ever created. As all I had to do is receive it. I've loved you for a little while, but you've loved me a whole lot longer and a whole lot more. Yes, there's a hell. God didn't make it for you. God loved you so much, he made a way available for you to miss it. And that's all you have to do is trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Please, would you be honest with your God right now? Who would say, preacher, if I died today, I am 100% sure I would go to heaven when I die. Don't lie. Would you raise your hand, please? You may put your hands down. Who would say, preacher, if I die today, and by the way, I won't embarrass you just like I've not embarrassed them. I won't come to you. I won't call your name. But who would say, preacher, if I die today, I'm not sure I'd go to heaven. Would you raise your hand? All right. We've got a little one or two. Who would say, preacher? Somewhere tucked away in that great truth. I needed that today. There was something in that truth that I needed today. Would you raise your hand? Oh, my soul. Almost every hand. You may put them down. In a moment, we'll stand. When we stand to our feet, the music will begin to play. When the music begins to play, if you need to come to this altar and pray, you may do so. Maybe you just need to come to this altar and tell God how much you love him for once. Maybe you need to thank him for loving you. If you've been saved and never baptized, we can take care of that today. If you'd like to join our church, we'd love to have you. If you've been saved and baptized by immersion in the Baptist church, we'd love to have you. Whatever you need to come for, you come. Say, oh, somebody might think I'm a sinner. Nope, we already know. Don't worry about it. We're all sinners. Not a matter of being a sinner or not being a sinner. It's a matter of you coming and kneeling before God and spending some time with your God, the God who loved you so much.